I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, America. How are you doing? This is Tim Wingate sitting in for Michael Herzog, who, by the way, actually is going to be calling into his own show today. Ah, where's the applause thing here? We gotta have some sound effects here, you all. Anyway, we've got Michael with us today. Mike, are you on the line? Michael? Oh, he had to, I guess we're having some telephonic difficulties. Well, the last day of December 2006, only the highest killing year of the Iraqi conflict, and a little bit of good news here, only 385 days left of Herr Bushler's position in the presidency of these United States. And I tell you what, folks, this next year, is 2008, is going to be a very, very interesting year. We've got some good stuff coming up, and I mentioned last week that we were going to be trying to have on one of the representatives of the new Republic of Lakota. Yes, the Lakota and, shall we say, related Native American or First Peoples have decided, they've taken 33 some years to put their legal ducks in a row and have decided to secede from the United States. And I don't know how you stand on this, but I'm a moralist. You know what I mean? I believe in morality, and I believe in what's right and wrong. Now, I can't go back. I live here now. I can't go back and fix the things that happened in the past, but I can do what I can do to treat people the right way, fairly, according to what I believe is the teachings of Jesus. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. These kinds of things. And these people, they've got a list of the treaty violations that have occurred for the last, oh, I don't know, at least 150 years. And they have every right to self-determination. So at some point here, and the way I understand it, and Michael mentioned it to me, that I believe we're going to try and have Russell Means on. Russell Means on Friday. Well, Michael will get back on and tell us a little bit more about it when he gets back, okay? And we got a break coming up. Tim Wingate here on the American Awakening. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I have had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code, or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, Officemax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com, and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Okay, welcome back, America. Tim Wingate here, sitting in with our host, Michael Herzog, who's calling into his own show today to let you all know that he's still here. Hey, Michael.
Good afternoon, Tim Wingate. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Tim? Happy New Year to you coming up.
Happy New Year to you, too. I was just in the lead-in. I was mentioning to folks about how we hope to have Russell Means on.
I'll tell you what. Let me start with this. Okay. I mean, I've got some really, really exciting news. First, I want to thank you for sitting in for me on short notice, and I wanted to let my listening audience know that I had to kind of extricate myself from what was becoming an increasingly more volatile situation as time went on. But I'll tell you what, I'm very excited. I feel like there's a big burden that's been lifted off of me. I'm kind of hanging out here in left field right now, Tim, because, you know, I talk about RBN and getting your fix. And right now where I have landed, I have no access to the internet, and I don't have a private phone line, so I'm kind of like that addict that's looking for a fix and unable to get it, because not only can I not broadcast, but I also cannot listen, which is as important. It's tantamount to broadcasting in my mind for getting the news.
Being an information junkie is a hard monkey to break.
Right. So what I did was I did the second best thing, and I waltzed down to the library yesterday morning, and I was looking for, I had Lieutenant Eric Schein on my show last week, and he had mentioned a book by Naomi Klein, Shock Doctrine. So I was down there looking for this book, and they directed me into the political science section, of which was not alphabetized. So I was scanning through there. I couldn't find this book by Naomi Klein. But what I did run across was an old dusty book by none other than Russell Means. And for the listening audience, if you're aware, you know that I had read this press release that Russell had put out with the Lakota tribe that was redeclaring their independence from the United States government. And as we speak, Russell Means is up in the Dakotas talking to the Cheyenne Nation because they're interested in doing the same thing. But as I ran across this book, I didn't really realize, I knew that Russell Means, I didn't even know Russell Means before I read this article a couple of weeks ago, but then after I ran across this book, I started realizing who this man was. And to call him an activist, an Indian activist, or to call him an actor, which he's been in 20-some-odd movies, Last of the Mohicans, and I can't even read them all off. I can't tell you that because I don't have the internet. But let me say this. After reading, and by the way, I'm a little bit more than halfway through this book, this man's autobiography, to call him an activist, an Indian activist, or simply an actor, is such a blatant understatement. Here's what I'm going to do. I spent a pleasant half hour today, and I had mentioned to the listening audience, my listening audience last week, that I was going to attempt to get a hold of Russell Means. Here's what I'm going to do. I spent a half an hour on the phone with his lovely wife, Pearl, this morning. Russell Means is going to be on my show for the full show this Friday. However, to properly introduce this man and what this man has not only doing now, what he has done in the past and has been doing for the past 30-plus years, it's only appropriate that I spend an entire show, not only Thursday, but probably today as well, in telling you about this man and who he really is. Now, I'm going to read a couple of excerpts to you, Tim. By the way, I wanted to mention to you folks that I'm in great spirits. I've got this guy coming up. What this guy is doing for on behalf of the Lakota Nation is absolutely astounding.
Hey,
his record. What's that?
Hey, could I just point out their website if people are interested in checking it out? It is literally Republic of Lakota, and that's Lakota with a K, republicoflakota.com.
I was just getting there, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. No big deal. All right. At any rate, I want to read a couple of excerpts to you. This is the Washington Post. This is the observance about Russell Means from the Washington Post. And I quote, "One of the biggest, baddest, meanest, angriest, most famous American activists of the late 20th century, and by the way, I might add into the early 21st century, because he's still doing today what he's been doing for the last 30-some-odd years. And what I'm going to do this week is I'm going to share with you folks just a few of the things that Russell Means has under his belt, his track record for some of the things that he has done and participated in. And as far as patriots are concerned, I'm a patriot. Tim, you're a patriot. A lot of patriots out there, but then there's the patriot's patriot. And this man has to be considered a patriot's patriot. Now, I'm going to read something real quick to you folks. We're talking, I heard you real quick. Before I came on to the show, you were talking about the treaties that were entered into with the Lakota tribe, right?
Right.
All right. There's a plaque on a knoll overlooking a river rising out of the chest-high buffalo grass is a 14-foot gray granite obelisk, and the stone reads, "To commemorate the treaty between the United States of America and the Yankton tribe of Sioux or Dakota Indians concluded at Washington, D.C., April 19, 1858. Ratified February 16, 1859. Whites inscribed this monument. Now this is quote Russell Means. Whites inscribed this document. What really happened was that several Ihanktinwan leaders were taken to Washington and kept there in hotel rooms for months under what amounted to house arrest. Finally, penniless, homesick, and confused by whiskey and grand promises, they agreed to cede millions of acres, their ancestral hunting grounds, to the United States, reserving in perpetuity only 430,000 acres for themselves and their descendants. In return, the Yankton Sioux, as the federal government insists on calling them, were to be paid an annuity during 50 years amounting to $1.6 million. Now, instead of cash, the government was to supply the equivalent in food, clothing, farm implements, livestock, and other necessities to make the transition from a hunting society into a farming nation. A United States agent would oversee distribution of the goods. The government also accepted responsibility for educating and providing health care to the Ihankinwan. The President of the United States retained the option of reducing the annuity payments or suspending them entirely if the Yankton population happened to decrease, say, after one of the dozens of smallpox epidemics induced by the president's agents after they distributed blankets infected with smallpox virus, or if hundreds starved or froze to death because an agent had stolen their treaty goods. In short, the treaty also provided that payments would continue for the annuity period unless the Indians failed to make a reasonable and satisfactory effort to, quote, advance and improve their condition, in which case other provisions shall be made for them as the President and Congress may judge to be suitable and proper. And I direct your attention to the, quote, advance and improve, or suitable and proper. The treaty delegation was led by, well, I'm not even going to get into that, but what I'm reading is an excerpt out of this. There were 33 treaties that were violated by the United States government, surprise, surprise, over the past 150 years. I'm going to get into that a little bit with Russell Means on Friday. But as I go through this, I'm more than halfway through this book, and when I started reading this, I thought that I would highlight with a yellow, you know, marker some of the high points that I could read this to the listening audience, and I found after the first 30 pages of this book that I had highlighted everything. It's impossible to outline any short segments of this because the book, and I know, Jim, because you've read the book,
I have been
unable to put this book down.
Michael, tell us the title of the book.
I'm sorry?
Tell us the title of the book.
I wanted to save that.
I was going to save that for Friday.
Because
you and I are thinking on the same way here, so I'm going to let you play it out
Doing is I'm building this, and I want, again, I don't have access to the Internet. My listening audience knows that I post on my website, www.theamericanawakening.org. I post on my website, you know, who's going to be on my show so they can get on there and look and see. Well, I don't have access to it right now. I cannot get in there. So, you know, I want to promote this. Russell Means is going to be on the show Friday, but Thursday I'm going to spend the entire show reading excerpts, and also there's a couple of chapters in this book that absolutely blew me away, Tim, that on the real story behind, George Custer, Custer's Last Stand. I mean, taken down from the ancestral stories of the true Indians and the real story of what happened to George Armstrong Custer, the real story of Christopher Columbus, the real story of Thanksgiving. All of these things are in this book, and I'm going to read specifics of this book on Thursday. Now, as you know, and I mentioned to you off the air, I'm on a cell phone right now. I don't have a lot of minutes, and I really appreciate you taking my show for me because I can't burn up all my minutes. So I can only spend, you know, a couple hours here before Thursday. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of minutes.
Okay.
But at any rate, the title of the book is the title of the book that I'm going to give you Friday, or I'm going to allow Russell Means to give you Friday. But I want everybody, the entire listening audience, call your friends, call your neighbors, call your relatives. Believe me, to give this guy the accolades of simply saying that he's an activist or an actor is an understatement. What this man has done and what he is continuing to do to this day makes me proud to know that I'm even able to interview this man, because this man has stepped up to the plate. This man has the gonads, if you will, to walk the walk, to talk the talk, to get in the line of fire, and to believe in his people, and to fight for the freedoms of which us, as the American people, the awakened, enlightened American people, are attempting to fight for now. And that's the parallel that runs here. This whole story with the Indians and what has happened to them is coming full circle right now, and it's coming back to us. And believe me, this man is a shining example, along with friends of his, in what we should be and can be doing to take back our country. And this is why I'm so excited about it. I can't wait to have this guy on my show. And I had also offered him a commentary every week on my network.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Okay, Mike, we're back.
Yes, I didn't hear the music, sorry.
That's quite all right, because you're working off of a cell phone. So what? Just to keep a little housekeeping here, I'll let you know when the lead-in comes in.
Okay, well, that would be great. Yeah,
okay.
I appreciate that. And during the break, you know, I was thumbing through this book, of which I'm not going to depict the name until Friday. I'm going to let Russell Means do that. But I have so many quotes in here to read. The man is just, there's so much wisdom within this man. He has a love affair going with his people, and it's hard not to, you know, respect and commend this man for what he's doing. And I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this, because I'm literally so excited. It reminds me so much. There's so many similarities between what this man is doing and his people are doing in their movement, and what we as educated Americans, awakened Americans, are doing in our movement. And this is why I say this has started, you know, ever since the dawn of man. These people have been living in peace, and they have had their nation raped, pillaged, and stolen from them, and we're having our freedoms raped, pillaged, and stolen from us. And so it's all coming full circle. And I see with what's going on here, Tim, at least in, you know, my perception of what's happening here, the Lakota Nation declaring their independence, and now the Cheyenne Nation, Russell Means is in meetings with them right now, and I see this like a domino factor coming down. And I'm very excited about the year 2008. It just seems to be, well, as he calls it, the great mystery. There just seems to be certain things coming together that are mystical, if you will. You know that Russell Means ran against Ron Paul in the 1988 independent...
was the Libertarian Party.
Right.
He
Isn't
was running as a candidate, and Ron Paul won the nomination from the Libertarian Party, but I think Russell came in number two.
Russell lost by one vote.
Yep.
So you would have seen him, had it not been for that one vote. Ron Paul picked up the delegates, which Russell Means would have been the nominee on the Libertarian Party, but he didn't know. He was not a politician, so he was not aware that he was able to access the delegates, so Ron Paul swooped them up. Nothing against Ron Paul, but I'm just saying there was only one vote shy of it being Russell
right.
Means that was the Libertarian candidate, as opposed to Ron Paul. And for those of you who don't know, before this reared its head here last week with this press release that I'd read on the on my show, I'd never heard the name Russell Means. Then I started doing my homework on this guy, which you know I do, Tim, and I've been down to Blockbuster Video looking at Last of the Mohicans and you know all this stuff.
Yeah, right, and the 25+ movies that he's been in.
Well, it's interesting,
them, actually,
and it's interesting that this man didn't even start acting until he was in his 50s.
Right.
And they called him. He didn't call them. You know, Last of the Mohicans was 1991, and they called him, and he told them straight up. He says, well, you know, if you want me to come out there and audition, you got to fly me out there, and it's first class. You must fly me out there first class. And they sent him a ticket, and it was coach, so he didn't take the ticket. He didn't show up. 2 weeks later, they were calling up, screaming at him because he didn't show up. And he says, I told you it was first class. And she said, well, you know, the casting director says, you know, we never pay for anybody to come to auditions. So he wound up getting a first class ticket. They went out there. They admitted they'd made a mistake. He auditioned for it. He went back for a second reading, and they gave him the part. So it's interesting that this man, you know, never went to any screenings, never went to any, you know, auditions like I did, and I've gone to dozens of them, you know.
But you know, he had been doing some television prior to that and documentary as well before 1992. He'd been.
Did he? Okay, well, I don't recall. Yeah. It seems to me like what he had done, and I don't remember. Remember, I don't have access to a computer right now.
Yeah.
So, and I know I had gone in there and I'd looked at his, the IMBD, I believe it is, or IDPM.
Right,
or,
right.
Right, and I was going back and scrolling down through what, you know, he had posted there. Now, how far does that go back? Did you look?
It goes back, actually, I'm looking at it right now, and he was, he played himself on some TV episodes back in 1995, and then he did Politically Incorrect. He was there in 99, and then he was in a movie called Warrior Spirits, where he played himself in 2000.
Right, but see, right. The Last of the Mohicans was 1991.
That's right. 91 was when they filmed, 92 when they released, yeah.
Right, right, and I believe that was his first movie.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was absolutely
right.
His first movie, absolutely.
Well, the only thing that's ironic about it is they called him. It was his first
right.
movie, they called him. He did not call them. But at any rate, as I read through this, there was a number of similarities that I found between him and myself. One of them, obviously, was the acting thing. But another one, as we both, you know, we both lived in the same town. I was born and raised in San Leandro, and he went to San Leandro High School.
Cool.
It's
so
that
cool.
Plus about,
I'm so
oh,
jealous
I don't know,
of you.
Well, that plus about, oh, I don't know, 30 or 40 other similarities. But as I read through this, you know, he keeps referring to the great mystery,
mm-hmm.
and this autobiography goes through his entire childhood, all the way up through what he has done during his life, even up to now. And what's interesting about that, the great mystery, is you look at that, and you look at how he was raised and what he experienced during his life, and it's just like what's that?
Got music.
Oh, okay. All right, well, we'll get back to this when we come back.
Well, you still got 20 seconds or so.
What's interesting is that looking at the younger part of his life and what he experienced, it's almost like what he's doing now. He was the exact character for this part. We'll be back
absolutely.
In three.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
This is an urgent RBN financial bulletin. Have you ever thought about making a little extra money at home with your computer? If you have and you would like to make money by actually learning how to beat Bilderberger insiders at their own game, this will be the most interesting message you will ever hear. Here is why. We all know that knowledge is power, but what most people don't know about is how to gain the kind of knowledge that insiders would really rather that you didn't have. Once you get that knowledge, it then becomes a question of turning that information into financial gain. Well, there's now a very real chance you will actually be able to make money this way. Here's what it's all about. There's a new program available that teaches you how to scan the media for enormously profitable insider stories. Once you learn what's ahead for a given company, you'll have an enormous advantage over the rest of the market. Get the details at www.earlymorningadvantage.com. That's earlymorningadvantage.com or call 815-259-4552. Once again, the site is www.earlymorningadvantage.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Okay, we're back, America. Michael, you still with
us?
Yes,
I'm right. Still here. shall I continue?
Oh, please.
You know, oh, I don't want to step on your toes. You're the host today.
Hey, listen, let me just throw this out. Because it's something that I mentioned last Friday, and this is one of the things, and I would say that this Russell would probably agree that this is one of the defining moments that influenced his life as well. On Saturday, December 29th, 2007, was the 117th anniversary of the massacre of innocent men, women, and children at Wounded Knee.
Mm-hmm.
This is an occasion that occurred December 29th, 1890. And roughly just under 300 people were massacred. And the U.S. Cavalry people came in and they were just, you know, all bragging about it. And it was a wonderful thing as far as they were concerned. And it was the 7th Cavalry. And 21 members of the 7th Cavalry were awarded medals of honor for this horrific slaughter of women and children. And this is a defining event, and this is one of the things that helped shape not only Russell Means, but Leonard Peltier and Dennis Banks. And became and why they formed the American Indian Movement. And I mentioned, Michael, on Friday that as I got into the politics and becoming aware of politics and this, one of the grand old granddaddies, if you will, of right-wing conservatism came out against the American Indian Movement because they were afraid that they were full of communists and left-wingers and everything like that, the old John Birch Society. And I remember seeing lots of material against AIM, if you will. But over the years, I think that I think we can see that AIM and what they tried to do, especially back in the 70s, when there was a Waco before Waco, folks, that the American Indian Movement has shown to be made up of honorable people who are simply fighting for liberty and freedom. And
not only that, Tim, they're fighting for liberty and freedom, but they're also fighting for truth.
Absolutely.
They're fighting to expose the lies that are put out by this government.
Oh, absolutely. And I think Catherine Graham in her article really said it well. Just a simple sentence. In an incredible irony, the very people that the United States have most oppressed throughout our history may hold the key to freedom for all of us.
I couldn't have said it better myself, and that's why it's coming back full circle, because as according to Russell Means, and I can see this, you know, the American people are the new Indian reservation.
Yep.
The same thing that has happened to them is happening to us. And this is the mirror that we hold up, okay? And in looking at this and the struggle with the Indians as far as what they've been trying to do to regain their liberty, their freedom, and to expose the lies of this government, we need to hold up a mirror to see that that's exactly what is happening to us. And this is why it's imperative that we get this knowledge out to people and, you know, make people aware that this is nothing new. This has been going on for a long, long time. It just has not been directed at us yet, but it is now. Okay.
That's true.
All right,
absolutely.
So let me read here. Okay, another little excerpt. We were talking about these treaties, 133 treaties that the Lakota nations entered into with the United States government, and the United States government, surprise, surprise, has violated every one of them. They have not held true to any of them. Henceforth, the reason that the American Indian does not trust the white man. Now, as Russell Means says, that's, you know, there are exceptions, obviously, but the rule is that they do not trust the white man, and rightly so, because the white man has deprived them of their land. Let's face it, you know, this land, and it's ironic that we even talk about the land, because they don't look on the land as their land. They look on the land as their grandmother, and you cannot own your grandmother. So they don't have the same philosophy about the land that the white man has, if you will. But at any rate, in these treaties that were passed in 1887, the United States Congress, ignoring hundreds of treaties with Indian nations, passed the infamous Dawes Act, now regarded as one of the most notorious pieces of legislation of the 19th century. Ostensibly, it was to make Indians into, quote, responsible citizens, unquote, by giving each as much as 320 acres of land. Of course, it was just another attempt to separate Indians from their land, aimed at eliminating America's Indian problem by eliminating America's Indians. And I don't know if you're anything like me, Tim, you know, for years and years and years, and this is, I was awakened by this book. For years and years and years, you know, I was, you know, driving down the road or whatever, you might see every once in a while, very rarely, you might see an Indian teepee in Arizona with some Indian sitting outside selling beads. Or I was at a swap meet the other day, which is, by the way, economically, they're down by 30% here in Phoenix over last year. I had occasion to talk to a lady that was selling books at the swap meet, saying that economically it's down 30% this year. But at any rate, you might every once in a while see an Indian in there selling beads. And we're all of the mindset, well, yeah, okay, the Indians gave up, the Indians lost. We see them every now and then, but, you know, this is our country now. No, that's not the case. The case is that they have never lost. They have never given up. They have been fighting for their liberty, fighting for their freedom, and fighting for the truth to be exposed for 150 years. And they are still fighting to this day. And what is remarkable is that some of the fights, and I'm not talking about, you know, some of the things like we do, Tim, when I'll bark to the listeners and I'll say, okay, let your fingers do the walking. We need to call our congressmen. We need to call our senators. No. That's not what I'm talking about. These people have gone since, you know, 1890, have gone back in and taken over Wounded Knee. They have gone to the Mount Rushmore and taken over the four heads. They have posed demonstrations that have caused SWAT teams. You're talking about a Waco before Waco. There has been numerous circumstances of these, not to mention the infiltrating and taking over the Bureau of Indian Affairs. They have they took over the Mayflower in the celebration of the Pilgrims. They've taken over when Cleveland, what's his name, sailed up the river. They took that over. I mean, these people don't just, you know, get on the phone and let their fingers do the walking. They make a few phone calls, and they've got Indians from all over the country, you know, going to wherever it is that they have to go and being there and physically taking over, physically getting into fights with SWAT teams and police department, physically going to prison on a regular basis, still to this day.
That's right.
And it's because they have been deprived of, not their land, they've been deprived of their grandmother, which is the land that they have been on ever since the inception of human beings walking on this planet. Now, that's
Michael,
a long
there's something
time.
Else. There's something else that doesn't apply to anybody else, any other minority, you know, on this continent. And that is, they are the only people that were targeted. And they may not have called it this, but a practical application of genocidal policies. That's what the American government...
You should mention that. you know, I'd heard these little snippets, little stories here and stories there about, you know, well, you know, back in wherever they gave, you know, they put the smallpox in the blankets. Now, what's fascinating in this book and why you're unable to put it down is these stories are brought forward from the people that lived them, passed down from generation to generation to generation about what really happened and how these people were killed and how they were treated and how when, for example, you know, I believe it was Christopher Columbus, maybe it was the Pilgrims, I'm a little confused on that issue, I'll have to go back and reread it, but the Indians did nothing but come forth and help these people. Some of them were sick, and they nursed them back to health, and they were rewarded by being killed and maimed and raped. They were rewarded in different circumstances by having smallpox put in their blankets because they wanted them. The white man wanted them eliminated. All these people wanted to do was live in peace, not on their land, but on the land, and they were even willing to share it. Because they were a good, honest, ethical, moral, integral people. But what happened, Tim? Tell me. What happened?
Well, genocide. We took their, not only did we take their land, we tricked them with confusing legal language. We overpowered them by a force of arms. And we tried to destroy almost completely their culture by taking their children from them and putting them in schools, almost in a reform schools, if you will, where they were given Anglo names and forced to give up their language, their heritage, and learn to be good sub-white children, sub-white people.
Right, and to quote Russell Means, okay, this was by design. This is to quote Russell Means, to make sure that siblings didn't bond. The officials usually sent children from one family to different schools, often hundreds of miles apart. If two or more siblings were sent to the same school, great efforts were made to keep them apart. Brothers and sisters were forbidden even to speak to one another. Thus,
My mother's sister, Auntie Faith, endured many beatings for trying to protect her baby brother from brutal matrons and teachers and from the older boys in a Minnesota boarding school. And I'll tell you what, some of the excerpts that I'm going to read Thursday on my show, there are such comparisons between some of the guests that I've had on my show, you know, that have had their children seized from, you know, the amount of pedophilia that goes on in the CPS, Child Protective Services. Another quote here from Russell Means, the boarding schools were havens for pedophiles. Generations of Indian children, boys and girls, endured sadistic sexual and psychological violation from perverts, many of them priests or nuns. Does that ring a bell? Does that ring a bell? Do you see how this is coming full circle? What's been happening to these people for all these years going back into the mid-1800s is happening to us today. And this is why we need to hold a mirror up to this, folks. Tim, do you agree with this? We need to hold a mirror up to this and see what the atrocities that have been done to these people. We have to say, no, wait a minute here. Not only are you not going to do that to us, okay, but we're going to make sure that the atrocities that have been done to these people are undone, and you're going to fess up to the lies that you've been telling these people for years, and you're going to condone, and you're going to endure, and you're going to put forth and honor the treaties that you've given these people. Okay? That's the only way that you can right the wrongs that have been committed here. And you can tell I'm passionate about this because I look at this and I hold a mirror to it, Tim, and I'm saying, you know what? All of this stuff that has happened to these people as I read through this book is happening to us right now. And,
absolutely.
And the enlightened ones, my listening audience, thank God for you guys, okay, we are the beacons that have to share this with the unenlightened, dumbed-down Americans that don't have a clue that this is happening all over again.
If we don't do it, I've often pointed out, Michael, that, you know, we talk about, and you're down there in the Southwest, and you're in confiscated territory from the Mexican government. In 1848 there, we had a dispute with Mexico, and for the first time, other than the Native American villages that our army would, our cavalry would attack, was the first time that you had a naval bombardment of a civilian population there at Veracruz for the United States Army to then march westward toward Mexico City and eventually, at the point of a gun, make an offer that the Mexican government couldn't refuse, and that is to take $15 or $17 million for the property that is now the Southwest United States. They had practice on the Native Americans, and they turned around and did it on the Mexicans. 20 years later, they did, or less than 20 years later, they did it on the South. What makes you people think that all this urban warfare and practice going on in Afghanistan and Iraq won't come home to roost here? We talked about the militarization of your local police departments. Who makes up a lot of the new recruits for your local police department, folks? Check it out. Gulf War veterans. People that have been trained in bloodthirstiness. And that
it's coming to a town near Tim, it's coming to a town near us, and not only that, we're being conditioned by it, and of course, you know, again, I had access to a TV, but guess what? I don't anymore. But again, you know, they're being conditioned for what is coming home to roost with them through programs, which, by the way, I didn't watch, like 24 and some of these other programs that you know, profess torture.
Yeah, justify torture because of necessity. The necessity doctrine.
Right, so they're, you know, so it's okay. If Jack Bauer can do it, well, that's okay. And that's how they're conditioning the mindset of the mind of the American public to go along with it. But yes, it's coming to a town near us, and it's already starting to happen. We've got the Blackwater sites that are popping up here, there, and the other place. And by the way, I mentioned I had a very, very pleasurable conversation with Pearl Means this morning, Russell's wife, who had mentioned that they are paying very close attention in the Indian nations to the foreign policy. And we're talking about Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and so forth. Yes, they're paying very close attention to it because all of this stuff is related. And again, you know, this is going to be the year 2008. And by the way, Tim, I want to put the word out. If there's anybody in the Phoenix area that's having a party tonight, I'm ready to go out and celebrate because 2008 is going to be an extremely interesting and a very good year. we're going to turn the light on these people, and we're going to start exposing things that they never thought in their wildest dreams was going to be exposed. I can feel it. It's an energy. It's that that mystery that Russell Means speaks of that's coming home to roost. And I'm telling you, I'm excited about it. The campaign trail. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but when does this? What is it? Is it Iowa or is it New Hampshire that starts on the 3rd?
It's Iowa, I think.
Iowa. Okay.
No.
And so you got all this posturing going on, and everybody running around, and Huckabee and Hillary Clinton and all these people. You know, I was down at the library yesterday, you know, looking for this book by Naomi Klein. I was in the political science section. I had mentioned that. And I ran across this new book out exposing Hillary Clinton, which is a bestseller. Don't remember the name of the book. I just happened to read it. I opened it up and read about a half a page in it. But if that catches on, and it is evidently it's a bestseller. It's under the section hot, hot, hot. It said something about, you know, what she knew and when she knew it. And I took that as exposing her for the liar that she is. So I don't look for her to get the nomination.
Got music coming up.
What's that?
We got the music coming up.
Okay.
20 seconds.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take it. Okay, we'll be back in 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my sub-host, Tim Wingate, hosting for me. We'll be back in 3. Stick with us. Call your friends, neighbors, and relatives.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80-90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Okay, we're back, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Well, let's see. We've got a few minutes coming from the top of the hour, Tim. What I'd like to do, I think, is give you a comparison, because I know I've had Greg Pound on my show a couple of times. His children were taken away by CPS. But I want to read a page out of Russell's book that depicts what happens in the boarding schools, where, as you mentioned, they ship the children off to the boarding schools. Says that in my father's school, the girls dressed in midi blouses and sailor skirts with high-top shoes and black stockings. The boys wore army uniforms with neckties, garrison caps, and lace-up leggings over brown boots. The boarding schools were havens for pedophiles. Generations of Indian children, boys and girls, endured sadistic sexual and psychological violation from perverts, many of them priests or nuns. I know this is so because my parents and my mother's sisters told me what happened to them. I've also spoken to hundreds of adults who described similar abuse they suffered as children in boarding schools. Senior church and Bureau of Indian Affairs officials were aware of these unspeakable crimes and did nothing to stop them. In fact, school administrators went to great lengths to keep complainants of child abuse from entering official channels. Children were whipped for making trouble and were threatened with further beatings, death, or banishment. Bureau of Indian Affairs and church authorities also intimidated parents by threatening loss of health care, welfare stipends, even the loss of other children through forced adoptions. In a few instances, when complaints were on the record, authorities whitewashed the charges and quietly transferred the offenders. This still goes on. In the 1970s, the American Indian Movement led demonstrations to protect brutal molestations in Chillicothe Indian School in Oklahoma and at Todd County High School in the Rosebud Sioux Indian Reservation in Mission, South Dakota. As recently as 1989, when a pedophile was caught, and this is funny, was caught white-handed. He substitutes white for red. Investigators learned that the Bureau of Indian Affairs knew he had molested children for 20 years at no fewer than 14 institutions. Boarding school discipline was harsh, speaking any Indian language, failing to flush a toilet, neglecting the rigid dress code, even straying over a chalk line on the playground brought demerits. Every Wednesday night, demerits were cashed in for lashes. Each demerit brought a stinging stroke with a broad leather strap administered to the bare buttocks by an older student under the watchful gaze of a matron. I can document punishment far worse than beatings. Boys younger than 10 years were handcuffed to basement pipes and left hanging. Others were forced to kneel on sharp stones for hours or were sprayed with water and forced to stand at attention outdoors in sub-freezing weather. Many children ran away from the schools, and those who got caught were beaten without mercy. Many were then raped. Most were locked in airless cells and held in solitary confinement, forced to subsist on bread and water rations, often for weeks or months. They were the lucky ones. In this century alone, thousands of Indian boarding school children simply vanished. Does that ring a bell with the 3,000 people that vanished under the supervision of Child Protective Services in Florida not long ago? Let me continue. Most probably died of exposure or of hunger or thirst. Some were undoubtedly caught and murdered. To this day, neither the Bureau of Indian Affairs nor any of the churches have ever accounted for those legions of missing children. I know dozens of Indian people who lost a brother, sister, aunt, uncle, or cousin in a boarding school, children who were taken away and never heard from again. That's just one millionth of what this guy professes throughout his 30-plus year tenure in leading his nation back to freedom, liberty, and exposing the lies. I could spend literally weeks and weeks and weeks worth of full shows just depicting some of the things in this book, Tim.
Michael, we got about 50 seconds left.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, if you want, let's just open up the phone lines and let's see if anybody missed me. You want to?
Yeah, I'm all for it.
All right.
Let's see some of you white supremacists out there. Why don't you call in
right.
And tell us why we should... continue genocide against the Native Americans here.
Exactly. Okay, phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Michael Herzog with my sub-hosting...
Run and shite. Just ride and shite, gun. That's all.
There we go. All right, be back in two.
Since